The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's on YouTube.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Oh, yeah!
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Sher.
Oh, is that from Rocky?
That's right.
It is. It is. It's from films. Today, we're going to be going back to our Guess the Goofs game. I believe this is part five of a series.
Guess the Goofs.
Today, Jeremy will be hosting it, and Barrett and I will be going mano a mano.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see who reigns supreme once again. We have some rule changes, however. What are our rule changes this time?
All right, so as your quiz master today, I will kick it off with the rule changes. We have taken a lot of people's feedback. We got a lot of requests because last episode in particular, we ran into some unexpected circumstances that we had to negotiate our way through. And I took most of the fans giving us suggestions as a really good thing. Nobody seemed like miffed. I think everybody's enjoying the game.
Yeah.
So we're going to start assigning point values to the clues that step down in value. So each guy is going to get up to four clues to guess his movie. If he guesses it on the first clue, he's going to get 4 points.
Mm.
If he asks for the second clue and then gets it, he'll get 3 points. If he asks for the third clue and then gets it, he'll get 2 points. And then finally, if he gets it after the final clue, he'll get 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if at any point along the way he misses, the other opponent will have a chance to steal. But here's where the wrinkle comes in. If the person stealing misses the question and there are still enough clues left, the original answerer can steal himself. Let me give you a scenario to work it all out, because I know you're all like pouring a drink right now. So let's say that Barrett guesses on the first clue, the four-pointer, and misses. This is what Jeremy did last game. Like a doofus. Chris can then steal for 4 points by answering right then with no clues. But Chris can also say, Quizmaster, I'll take that second clue. And if he gets it on that one, he will get 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because we stepped it down. But if he misses, then Barrett has a chance to steal with the third clue, but Barrett can only get 1 point with that re-steal. Re-steals will only ever be worth 1 point. If we get down in the clues so far enough that Chris gets all four of them and misses, obviously we won't be able to bear it, have steal a chance again. That was grammar done in a chopper.
But if I exhaust all my clues and I whiff, Chris then has the opportunity to steal for 1 point, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And then whoever has the most points at the end
wins. Yeah. I have a delightful tiebreaker. Go ahead, Chris.
We've also decided, too, that if it's been, what, two clues and it's into the steal category, it's only a steal after that?
Yes. What I have written is that if the steal is on the third clue, the stealer then requests the fourth clue but misses, the original answer will not get a chance to steal back at 1 point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That you only get the one. So, yeah, I like this new wrinkle, man.
And we'll see how it goes.
Stuff.
And if we do have a tie, here's what I came up with. I have found an obscure American film. And I will give you a title and a summary and some of the players involved. And you will each have to tell me the year you think the film came out. If you tie in that, you need to tell me the date it came out. And if you tie on that, you're cheating.
I need to bring this up because it will come up if it comes up.
I think I know where you're going.
if it says 1991, but it came out in like 1990 or something, like they, it would actually be the year after. That's where the more common thing's going to happen, where it says 1991 and it actually came out in 1992 in theaters. And like 1991 in a festival doesn't count for me.
I agree.
It may count for some of you guys, but it doesn't for me. We go and look at the actual release date in America, in the United States, and you know, if it's a 1990, if you say 1992 and it turns out release date was in 1992, then I think
you're gonna throw eggs at my house. I get it. But what I have done is I have checked the date on IMDb and on Wikipedia, and they both have the same year, and Wikipedia has the full release date. Pretty sure we're not going to need this. Pretty sure I spent 30 minutes on it anyway.
That's true.
But are we ready to begin?
I think so.
All right. So the first thing we need to do is figure out who's going to go first. I don't have a coin. Does anyone have a coin? We spent so much time on the... Barrett's got a coin. All right.
Barrett's got a coin.
Since Barrett's going to flip it, Chris, you call it.
All right. I will call heads. All right.
Here comes the flip.
He called heads.
It is heads.
All right, Chris, you want to go first or second?
I will go second.
All right.
Deferring until the second half.
That's right.
Yeah, he's going to get the kickoff at the second half. That means, Barrett, you are up first, round one. I'm not going crazy like Barrett did. I'm sticking with the years I used last time. 1990, 1995, 2000. 2005, otherwise known as Chris's favorite year ever, and 2010.
All right.
We are starting with 1990. Barrett, here is your first clue, the four-point clue. When Kimball lifts Penelope up at the end of the movie, Sylvester totally tries to look up her skirt. It's on YouTube.
You had that ready to go. You were like, yeah. When Kimball lifts up Penelope.
Yes, at the end of the movie. Sylvester totally tries to look up her skirt. It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Well, now I want to explore that. That malfeasance by Sylvester. That dirty bastard. 1990, Kimball, Penelope, Sylvester.
For 4 points. Guess?
I'm not going to guess at this point. I'm going to play this fairly... I shouldn't disclose my strategy, but...
No, that's bad.
In fact, I'm not going to.
There you go. He's going to be conservative.
Yes, next clue, please.
Okay. The ferret makes a high-pitched squeaking noise repeatedly. Though ferrets can make a wide range of noises, this is a noise that real ferrets do not make, though it is common noise for Hollywood ferrets to make.
And it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Penelope, Sylvester, ferret. I think I have a... Did the first clue say at the end of the movie?
It does.
I will take the next clue, please.
Okay. When the firemen start escorting the students across the road after the fire chief's Caprice has its trunk open. In the next shot, when Phoebe runs to the entrance, the trunk is closed.
Oh, fuck.
When we're done here, I'm going to, at least on a couple of these, I'm going to try and explain my logic and the clue giving.
I think I have it.
The question is, do you want to guess and give a possible point?
Do I get the, yeah. So if I guess and get it wrong, Chris can
steal for 2 points.
Steal for 2 points,
or get the last clue and can steal for 1 point.
I'm gonna start off gently and stuff. So I'm gonna take one more clue, but I think I have it.
All right. Early in the film, Detective Kimball parks near a cinema showing The Lost Boys. One of the stars is listed as Jamie Gertz with an S instead of Jamie Gertz with a Z.
Early in the film?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad I didn't answer. Shit. Read me. Can I have the third clue again, please?
I'll take the third part first. When the firemen start escorting the students across the road after the fire, the fire chief's Caprice has its trunk open. In the next shot, when Phoebe runs to the entrance, the trunk is closed.
1990. And I'm sorry, could you read the last clue one more time, too?
The final clue?
Yeah.
Early in the film, Detective Kimball parks near a cinema showing The Lost Boys. One of the stars is listed as Jamie Gertz with an S instead of Jamie Gertz with a Z.
This is supposed to be the easy one, right?
I'll explain my logic, but...
Dr. Kimball! That's the wrong one.
Dr. Richard Kimball!
I really thought that I had this. I'm going to guess Heathers.
Heathers is incorrect. Chris, would you like to steal for 1 point?
Yeah, I'll try. I don't know if I know this movie. Maybe I do. But I'll just go with it. I don't know if it's 1990 or 1991 when this came out, though. But I'll go with Backdraft.
Ooh, see, Backdraft is one that I was trying to trick you to. This is Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, God.
I did tell my wife. I told the guys these were probably my easiest clues yet, which is probably going to end up being a lie. Like, I probably end up shooting myself in the foot by saying that. So the first clue, all you really get is the name Kimball. And yeah. I don't know. I didn't know if that was going to be a tip off or not. He has a pet ferret that entire movie. So he I figured does. If you were familiar with the movie, the ferret might help on clue two.
Fireman.
The third clue wasn't about the firemen as much as it was about the word students.
Students and fire. And there was a fire. Of course, there's a fire at the end of Heathers. Of course, Heathers is 1980.
And then the last clip was giving you that he's a detective. At least that was my logic.
I have
there.
Seen Kindergarten Cop probably 5 times.
Oh.
And wow. I should have gotten that.
So we got no points?
Maybe seen it once.
It's not right. a tumor.
Shut up!
Shut up! Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
Yeah. All right. So no points on the board yet.
No points.
Quizmaster is a dick. And we move to the second part of round one, Chris's 1990 movie. After this, I do want to run and put some more tea in my cup, if you don't
mind. All right.
Second
part. All right, Chris, your first clue of your 1990 movie. The car that Victor gets for Clark and a white limo at the club have the same license plate. VKY. 722.
Give me that one more time.
The car that Victor gets for Clark and a white limo at the club have the same license plate. VKY 722.
Okay. Let's go to the next one.
In Clark's dorm room, there is a poster of Buster Keaton on the wall. In the ending credits, it is identified as Charlie Chaplin.
Oh. Holy shit. I think I should know this one.
I think one of my favorite parts about this game is the poker face of the guy whose turn it isn't. Because I can never tell if they're like close to it or trying to. It's fun for me.
Yeah. Let's go to the third clue.
The stolen Mona Lisa is much too big to be the real one. However, being a con artist, Tina might be lying to Clark.
I can already feel Barrett already getting this one.
I don't know. I actually paid no heed this time to whether or not I knew if you guys had seen these movies.
That's probably a good thing, actually. Clark. Seems like that should give it away. Mona Lisa. Vic. License plates. All right, let's go to the 1 point clue.
All right. The 40 or so diners pay the host $350,000 per plate for the meal, or $14 million total.
Jesus.
The money is later seen in $100 bills and partially fills a small leather satchel. Actually, $14 million in $100 bill stacks would equal the thickness of 280 reams of paper, or an amount that would probably fill 15 to 20 of those leather satchels.
Oh, man. I feel dumb for not knowing this.
I'm a little worried maybe you haven't seen it.
I feel dumb, though. Like, it should be. Like, all the clues that you gave feel like they're describing the movie pretty easily. Clark, 1990. Mona Lisa, millions of dollars at the end.
I'm going to be the first quizmaster to have a tie end in 0-0.
And the main thing about this game is a lot of times movies just aren't popping in your head at all. You're sitting there trying to think of something specific, and I can't even think of one movie.
That happens to me a lot in this game.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it over to Barrett to steal from me.
Barrett, would you like to try and steal?
It is The Freshman.
It is The Freshman.
That was one that I had Freshman. After the first one.
Yeah, I'm glad I went through the whole thing then.
I've seen that movie probably 10 times.
Okay, I've only seen it twice.
I have seen this movie. I saw it in theaters, and I don't think I've seen it again since.
I was thinking the $350,000 plate meal might be a tip in that direction.
The only thing I remember about The Freshman is the exotic animals that they're...
BD Wong.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of goofs that said the phrase Komodo dragon, and I didn't necessarily want to give that.
That may have given it away, actually. But yeah, I remember that's one of those movies I remember seeing in theaters, but I know it's good. I haven't seen it since then, though.
It holds up. I saw it probably about 2 or 3 months ago, and a great cast is it Penelope Ann Miller? No, it's Penelope Ann Miller. Bruno Kirby. Bruno Kirby is in so many of these fucking...
Yeah, he is.
BD Wong, Maximilian Schell is the chef at the end. Mm-hmm. Frank Whaley is Clark's
roommate. I
remember
Frank Whaley. Yeah.
Who's Mr. Who's the guy in the Jeffersons? Mr. Peabody?
Oh, with like Benedict?
Paul Benedict is the guy. He was Mr. Bentley.
Yeah, Mr. Bentley. But yeah, because they do some really deft Godfather stuff in that, and it's a fun movie. I need to see it again.
I tell you what, Brando is fucking hilarious in that movie. He asks Matthew Broderick if he wants sugar in his cappuccino, and Matthew Broderick says like, "No, or just a little bit or something like that." And as Brando's talking to him, he's just making eye contact with him. He just keeps sugaring, like pouring, like spoonful after spoonful after spoonful into this cappuccino. He stirs and they see so good. It's so good. I love that movie. Really, really good movie.
All right. Are you guys ready to go on?
Yeah. So it should be 1-0 Barrett right now.
Yep. That's what I got. I'm going to make a bold prediction here. Sure to go wrong. I think you're both going to get these right.
Okay.
All right. That's
not pressure at all.
Never mind. I'll shut up. So it's Barrett's turn, right?
Yep.
We have moved up to 1995. I'm 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of my college experience.
Just for reference, Jeremy is 20 years old.
That's right. That's correct.
Here's your first clue. Had sex for the first time.
Yes. 20. Well, we'll come back to that. Here's your first clue. The can of cat food changes from one that requires a can opener to one with a ring pull.
I have a feeling this is one of those Fugazi things that has nothing to do with fucking cats whatsoever. But I could be wrong. I'm going to ask for the next clue, please.
Okay. The monitor in the ICU shows Peter's blood pressure to be 29/11, not sustainable for life, and his heart rate is 80, too high for a coma. The line showing his heart rate is also flat, which is what happens when the heart stops beating.
That is chock full of medical advice right there. That
good advice, too. That blood pressure is actually terrible. Not sustainable for life.
29 over 11. Let's just write some numbers down, folks. And key them in. It'll be fine. Okay, so coma. What's his name again? What's the guy's name?
His name is Peter.
Peter, of course. So there's a cat food. Mm-hmm. There's Peter in a coma. Oh no. Okay, I'll take the next clue.
The Chicago River is various levels of frozen throughout the movie. During the opening credits, it is nearly entirely frozen over. During scenes of Lucy buying hot dogs or walking home with Jack, all of the ice is melted.
I think our point system is going to be a little bit fucked because I think I know this. But I'm going to ask for the last one, please.
Right, but by the end of the round, the point system is going to have one of you taking risks that you wouldn't normally take. And that's what I'm excited about.
I got you.
All right, so you want the final clue.
Yes.
When Lucy arrives at the hospital directly after the accident, her hair is wavy curly in one shot and noticeably straighter in the next.
Believe this is while you were sleeping.
It's while you were sleeping. Mm-hmm. Barrett gets a point. Chris, did you have that pick?
I had it at three. Yeah, that's a three-point clue, yeah.
All right. That's where, what was the three-point clue?
Is it about the 29 over 11 and the 80?
Yeah, that's, I mean, I was
just
thinking
the
like.
Mere mention of coma made.
What's a coma movie from 1995?
Yeah.
But again, the cat thing was basically a fugazi. I mean, it has nothing to do with cats. Besides,
no, it does. She's taking care of his cat.
I know. I know.
Because she feels responsible. It's
but
the
when
cat.
You, when you think about while you were sleeping, you don't think cat movie. That's a cat movie.
When I think about while you were sleeping, I think about the cat movie.
I watched you while you were in a coma.
Yes.
All right. Congratulations to Barrett. He now has 2 points earned from his own questions. No, one was a steal.
One was a steal.
Okay, Chris, are you ready for your 1995 movie?
I'm ready.
Your first clue is this. Planes landing in New York City from South America would land at JFK Airport and not LaGuardia Airport.
Okay, I've got something in my head, but let's go to the next one.
I'm already impressed. During the robbery, the firefighters arrive wearing Los Angeles fire helmets, not the black leather helmets used by New York.
Bill? Planes coming from South America, and we've got firefighters with the wrong shit on. They have the LA fire shit on.
Mm-hmm. Got a handle on it.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the next one.
In the hospital scenes, in the burn unit, the medical staff are gloved and gowned, but their surgical masks are pulled down under their chins. Their masks should be covering their noses, mouths, because burn victims are extremely vulnerable to infection.
Because of all the burns and whatnot.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah, I have something in my head, but I don't know if I'm ready to answer it yet. Let's go to the next one.
All right. The final clue. During the harbor scene near the end, the sound of the Styrog is very muted, and yet he has no silencer attached.
He ain't got no silencer.
You like the attitude I read some of these with?
Yes, yes.
Put myself
indeed.
Into it.
Oh. One movie I thought of is from the previous year, so I can't answer that.
Hang on, let me make sure I didn't fuck up.
But I doubt it's that movie, though.
Yeah, it looks like I did not fuck up.
Okay, good. There's the Styrog, which I only first heard of in Jackie Brown for the first time.
Ooh, I only learned it by playing Tom Clancy games on PC, because that's one of the rifles. I actually love that rifle in that game, but in real life, you know, I'm not a big fan of high-powered rifles.
And then there's a hospital with a burn unit. So a lot of... Yeah, it's an action movie. I'm going to go with something that's probably wrong, but I'll go with Die Hard with a Vengeance.
That is incorrect. Barrett, would you like to try and steal for 1 point?
Can you run down? All right. I've got the so it's a New York thing.
You are entitled to any of the clues again at this point.
So plane from South America should land in JFK, not LaGuardia.
Yes.
Right. Now, what was the second one again?
During the robbery, the firefighters arrive wearing Los Angeles fire helmets, not the black leather helmets used by New York.
So it's in New York. And then the third one?
In the hospital scenes in the burn unit, the medical staff are gloved and gowned, but their surgical masks are pulled down under their chins.
Good. Yeah, I got you. And then the last one, the last one just from the beginning, please.
During the harbor scene near the end, the sound of the Steirog is very muted. And yet he has no silencer attached.
Yeah. I'm going to guess the Jackal.
It is The Usual Suspects.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
That title crossed my head because it's 1995, but I couldn't think of Airplane from South America in that movie. I couldn't think of the robbery during a fire, I guess. I couldn't think of.
No, it's the robbery where they, they light the cop car on fire they box it in.
The harbor scene. I mean, yeah, everything that definitely is, you know, reminds me of, you know, Usual Suspects. But God damn it, yeah.
All right, so no steal there. And
yeah, we should have gotten that.
Those were some cagey goofs.
When he
drops the coffee mug at the end.
Right, yeah. When it says Kobayashi on the bottom of the mug.
Okay, so I kid you not, one of the goofs is when the coffee mug is dropped near the end, you can see there's nothing printed on the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Why didn't you do that one?
Because I'm not trying to, like, I could have also said, which Kaiser Soze's limp changes between shots.
Right.
All right.
The name Kaiser Soze means verbal Kent. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about Shudder. Look, there's some cool stuff on Shudder, man. There's a movie called Jacob's Wife on there that Barbara Crampton is in, and she is great. And we interviewed the director of that movie.
Nice.
We really enjoyed it. I see Dave Made a Maze is on there, which is
that's your jam, baby.
Absolutely is on there. There are a lot of like really cool things. And Jonathan was telling us that Seance was going to be on there. It's another movie that we have talked to the director for.
Yeah, it's already out. As of when this posts, Simon Barrett, writer extraordinaire for the VHS series, of which there's another one coming.
There's
out
a new on one,
Shudder.
Yeah.
And many other like mumble gore horror type of things. His feature, Seance, is on there too. There's some great stuff on Shudder right now.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, everybody, just notice where you are in time right now. It's October. You know what October means? It's autumnal. Right? Mm-hmm. You start getting a little crisp in the air. The days are getting shorter. You're starting to feel a little spooky. You want to log in to a streaming service that is curated specifically to creepy movies, scary movies, horror movies, supernatural movies, and that's Shudder. Shudder. This is a streaming service that I absolutely adore. What Chris was saying is some really, really interesting content on there. Really, really interesting movies that we have seen. Carrie, the original Carrie, Brian De Palma's Carrie from 1976, is on there right now. They're doing a 61-day binge of Halloween movies right now. This is the time to sign up for Shudder. They just did an Elvira 40-year anniversary special.
Yeah.
I am an Elvira fan. And I am totally going to be watching the Elvira 40th anniversary, very scary, very special, special. That's what it's called, actually.
Yeah, and they have a new season of Creep Show coming, and that's going to be awesome. And, you know, the Joe Bob Briggs stuff, that's going to be awesome. So, like, you know, I mean, there is a lot of great content on there right now.
There's also, man, we have a like almost a personal connection with this. PG Psycho Gorman on there. And that is your jam, Chris.
Yes,
that's
it is.
It's apparently going to be my jam. I'm going to log on to Shudder and probably watch that tonight. Listen, man, when it comes around this season, I am going to find horror movies just because it's comforting, it's fun, and it's just like, you know, this is the time to get your freak on.
Yes, indeed. That's correct.
The freak.
And listen, well, you know, when this drops, it'll be right at the beginning of October. You sign up for Shudder, go to shudder.com and use promo code SINCAST. Listen, folks, it's 30 days free.
It's free.
30 days free, which means you go through this entire Halloween season for free. You got access to all of this content, curated stuff awesome. For Halloween. I'm telling you, baby, this is it. Shudder.com and promo code SINCAST, 30 days free. This is it, baby.
Free.
Get your freaky. Get your Shudder on. And and thank us later.
Get your freak on. Get your freak on.
Get your freak on. F-R-E-E-K.
All right, we are up to the year 2000. We're going to do round three.
All right.
Baird is up first. In the year 2000, Chris and I were working at Hollywood 27 together.
We were indeed, yes.
Here we go. Here's your first clue. Set in 1991, but a newspaper has a Kia advertisement. Kia sold its first cars in the U.S. in 1994.
Hmm.
Hold on, the movie is set in 1991?
Yes, although the goof simply says, set in 1991, but a newspaper has a Kia advertisement. So,
meaning to imply that movie was set in 1991.
But the words are not there, but that is what they are implying.
2000 movie. Excuse me.
We're not on the golf course anymore, man.
Thank God. Okay, I'll take the next one, please.
All right, second clue. This is a long one, so please hang on. When Murph is dropping off his son at the son's home after their bar play date, the boy begins to cry as Murph is telling him his mother may find a new dad for the kid. As the boy begins to cry, he lifts him up and puts him on his lap to console him. When he places his hand on the boy's head, you can clearly see a wedding band tan line from the recently removed wedding ring, which is inconsistent with the character's current relationship status.
That is a fatal flaw.
I'm telling you.
You did not check to see, or you didn't, it wasn't in the front of your mind that we had seen these movies, correct? Is that what
that
you
is
said?
Correct. I paid that no heed. All I was trying to do was make sure that these were movies the general public was aware of.
I hate to ask you to read that one again, but would you mind, please?
When Murph is dropping off his son at the son's home after their bar play date, the boy begins to cry as Murph is telling him that his mother may find...
After their bar play date?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
The boy begins to cry as Murph is telling him his mother may find a new dad for the boy. As the boy begins to cry, he lifts him up and puts him on his lap to console him. When he places his hand on the boy's head, you can clearly see a wedding band tan line from a recently removed wedding ring, which is inconsistent with the character's current relationship status.
Okay, I'm glad I did that again, because it's not what I'm thinking. Next one, please.
Yeah, I'm glad, too. while the men are in the lower chamber watching movies, a copy of Blade Runner, the director's cut, is on the table. The movie is set in 1991. The director's cut of Blade Runner was released in 1992.
While the men are in the lower chamber?
That is correct.
All these date inconsistencies, man.
Only two. Only two date. The other one was a tan line on a wedding ring inconsistency.
tan line on your ring finger. I will take the final goof.
When Irene runs to the crow's nest during the storm, she closes her umbrella before she enters. After she gets inside, she closes it again.
It's kind of a dick move, if you ask me.
Oh yeah. I mean that all points to.
I didn't think this one would be that hard, but I'm a dick.
No. I think I've got it. The third one. What was the third one? Just in general again.
When the men are in the lower chamber watching movies, a copy of Blade Runner: The Director's Cut is on the table.
I think I got this wrong. I think I got this wrong, but I am going to guess me, myself, and Irene.
That is incorrect. Chris, would you like to steal?
Is this a perfect storm?
It is a perfect storm, and Chris is on the board.
All right.
Yeah,
I remember
that's
guessing
where the murph.
Last time.
Yeah, that's where
on
the
a 2000, and I was wrong, and then I was like, oh my God, am I going to be the guy who continually...
guess it's a perfect storm.
I think I guessed Die Hard with a Vengeance last time in the 1995 as well. So I was sitting there going, am I going to be that guy that just keeps on naming a movie until I get it right?
Yeah, eventually you'll be right. God damn, I should have known that.
All right.
I know Murph. I know Lower Chamber should have given it away.
Well, and if I'm honest, I'm pretty sure that one said Below Deck and I changed it because I didn't want to give away the boat thing.
That's what I was sitting there thinking on that.
I've seen that movie several times too. Damn it.
That movie holds up better than its effects do.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's Wolfgang Peterson, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. I'm a big fan of dirty, grungy George Clooney. I like that version of him.
Yeah.
Not like in a sexual way. Well, maybe I wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, maybe.
No, until you try it.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of dirty, grungy Marky Mark.
That's right.
Chris, you have an opportunity to tie or take the lead here with your third round movie.
All right.
From the year 2000, here's your first clue. Let me say something quick. If you plan to answer after this clue, let's talk first.
Okay. I will do.
Because the second clue will alter something you may assume after the first clue.
Hey.
I'm sorry I would have given you the same warning if you...
All right. That's fine.
Here's your first clue, Chris. There were over 50,000 casualties at the Battle of Gettysburg, but fewer than 10,000 died.
Say that again, because I'm not hearing the film flaw in there.
There were over... Well, what I'm assuming is the movie states a higher number of dead.
This
goof is correcting that.
Okay.
And the reason I wanted to give you a caveat is that this is not a Battle of Gettysburg era movie, and I didn't want you to guess the North and the South or something like that.
North and the South.
I know that was on the tip of your tongue. There were over 50,000 casualties at the Battle of Gettysburg, but fewer than 10,000 died.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. All right. Yeah, I think I know what you're saying here. It doesn't give me any insight into what movie it is, but I'm going to go with the next clue.
Okay. In the early 1970s, igloo coolers were galvanized steel, not plastic, as shown.
Hmm. And very inaccurate about Gettysburg.
Shame on the movie. Mm-hmm. Shame. Mm-hmm. Ring the bell.
All right, let's go to the next one.
The third clue for 2 points. The helmets are of a late 1990s design, which are much more strongly designed and made than those actually worn in the 1970s when the movie takes place.
Oh, man, I had a title that went through my head that was like, that's it, but it's not it. Mm. That is not it.
Mm.
All right, let's go to the next one.
All right, here is your final clue for 1 point. High school football rules in 1971 did not allow a recovered fumble to be advanced by the recovering team. This happened several times in crucial situations.
Okay, Remember the Titans?
That is correct. It is Remember the Titans. It looks like Barrett had that one locked up, ready to go.
I had that after the first one.
And, oh my.
At after the Battle of Gettysburg?
Because he gives that speech?
He
is goes, that where you
he
got
takes
that?
Him to, they run to Gettysburg. I just saw this maybe a few months ago.
That probably helps.
Okay.
Yeah, he does some speech about we're standing on the ground of Gettysburg, and this is where all these brave men died, but they've died as a team, and they've died because the football game was important.
I'll tell you
that's verbatim.
I'll tell you what went through my head briefly when I, and then I had to shut it down, was the movie Frequency, which came out in 2000.
Yeah.
It wasn't just set. It was set in the 60s is the reason why I didn't say it, but you know, you have helmets, you have, he was a firefighter and all that was in there. So like that was a, you know, that was something that was going through my head, but you know, Frequency is set in both the 60s and the present day. So it couldn't just be set in the 70s. And of course it's not set in the 70s, but it's in the 60s. Caviezel talks to Dennis Quaid and says, you know, talks to him about the Mets World Series and all that, and that's 1969.
Hmm.
All right, everybody, it's time to talk about BetterHelp.
BetterHelp. Think about yourself, folks. We're getting into autumn. We're getting into winter. We're getting into the holidays. We're still, in case you didn't notice, we're still in a pandemic. There's a lot going on out there, folks. You got to think about yourself, and you got to take care of yourself. I am so happy to proselytize about counseling, especially BetterHelp and their interface, because I have seen so much progress in myself recently, and I ain't gonna lie, it wasn't easy to get there. But you know, now that I've got some momentum, it's really spectacular. BetterHelp makes it super easy to log on from your house, from your tablet, from your phone, from your laptop, whatever, and conduct your visit right there. I had to go for a doctor's appointment fairly recently, and I had to deal with the front desk person. I had to deal with the phlebotomist. I had to deal with the nurse. I had to deal with the doctor. I had to deal with the insurance person. Now, that is a physical doctor appointment, but a lot of times with counseling, you'll get something similar where you've got to check in with the receptionist. You've got to, you know, check in with, you know, some other administrative staff. You have to talk to your therapist then, and insurance and all that stuff. Not to say that that doesn't have a place, but at BetterHelp, it skips all that stuff. You go straight to your therapist with any concern. You can message them at any time. You can schedule everything at any time on your personal counseling room, and it's freaking awesome.
I have been in therapy off and on for about 7-8 years now, and I, of course, had been in therapy a couple other periods in my life. And even when you score, you know, one of those big, oh, I figured something out about myself and why I am the way I am. And don't get me wrong, that is huge, and it does help improve your life moving forward to start understanding why you are the way you are a little better, I have found. But it doesn't have to end there. Listen, we're complicated, most of us tightly woven, complex beings with, we don't have one issue. And then, oh, it's fixed, and yay, I'm back to life, and everything's normal, right? So, you know, I over 3 or 4 years, I conquered a big issue for me, and it was huge. And I took a little time off, even thought, well, I'm good now. I don't need therapy for right now. And I was good for a while, but then I started having anxieties that had nothing to do with that issue that I'd conquered. Mm-hmm. They were different, related to other areas of my life. And I'm not trying to scare you by saying, you know, it's a forever commitment. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, it's a long road, and if you're willing to commit to it, it's rewarding as hell. Every time I find something new that I can understand and work on, it's elating. It's like coming out of a great action movie or coming home after your first date. There's like a lift from making this kind of progress, and that's all I'm trying to do, is help other people have that same experience as they work on bettering their mental health.
You're absolutely right. And look, work on what you need to work on. But Jeremy is so right in that, you know, you hear people say, oh, I'm depressed, and that's it. Oh, well, it ain't always that simple, folks. Sometimes there's a lot of stuff like kind of interweaving, and you need a licensed professional to help you with that. Just like maybe I've got heart disease or like high blood pressure or something like that. There's a lot of factors that go into that. Are you a smoker? Are you eating high fat foods? Are you exercising regularly? It ain't just one solution, but you need people who know what they're doing to walk you through that. BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, is the way to go. You've probably heard us talk about this before, but if you've been, you know, putting off, this is the time, folks. This is the time. BetterHelp.com/Sincast, 10% off your first month. First month is critical. I cannot stress that enough. It's just something that we are very passionate about and that we think would be beneficial to a lot of people. BetterHelp.com/Sincast. Go forth and BetterHelp.
We have two rounds left. Chris has evened the score. Mm-hmm. Both contestants have answered one of their own correctly and stolen. I'm seeing a lot of ones on this spreadsheet, and in rounds four and five, I'm hoping to see a two or a three.
What would be very interesting is if we had gone the opposite, because both Barrett and I have known something at the 3 or 4 point clue.
Yeah.
So,
and unfortunately for Barrett, this round he has the much harder one.
Okay.
As long as it's not red eye.
All I'm saying is we did this in such a way that I could not have fucked with you on purpose. I simply can't have.
That's true.
Because I didn't know. I didn't know what you were going to flip. I didn't know what he was going to call. Who would have thought he would defer to halftime in a game where there is no halftime?
That's true, because I would have gotten the freshman early. I would have gotten Remember the Titans early, too.
Yeah, but, yeah. And I would have gotten Why You Were Sleeping, and I would have gotten Perfect Storm early.
All right, here we go. We have jumped up to 2005. This is the year where Chris has seen every movie and regretted it because it's one of the worst years of film history.
It is.
Barrett, your first clue. When Raji is talking to Nick, his silver chain is repeatedly in/out of his shirt between shots.
Next one, please.
When Elliot pauses the video of himself in Edie's home, he pauses it on one still. And when the video restarts, it starts from a different still.
Interesting.
Can you say that one again, please?
When Elliot pauses the video of himself in Edie's home, he pauses it on one still. And when he restarts the video, it starts from a different still.
I'll take the next one.
I'm sorry. When the main character comes downstairs at Edie's house, he mistakenly quotes, "knocking on heaven's door." Wait, I'm sorry, a different character mistakenly quotes, "knocking on heaven's door, that cold black cloud is coming down." But the correct lyrics are, "that long black cloud is coming down."
The main character comes down the stairs.
Yes.
Then somebody else says that cold black cloud is coming down.
Yes.
Incorrect.
I have given you several names so far, but there are some I can't give you, like the main character's name. Are you ready for your fourth clue, or do you want to make a wild stab? I will admit, this is the hardest batch of clues in this whole round, or this whole thing, and I apologize.
Yes, and Kindergarten Cop was so easy. All right, next one, please.
Good thing I put that weighted nickel in your pocket so that I could control the flip.
That's true.
All right, your final clue. At the beginning of the movie, as the main character stands up to go to the restroom, he closes his suit once. And as he enters the bar, he closes his suit for the second time.
Okay. Somebody is talking to somebody. A little chain is hanging out. Then it's not hanging out. Then,
I would put more emphasis on the people than the chain, but hey, you do you. Do you want me to read it again?
Yeah, who are the names again, please?
When Raji is talking to Nick, his silver chain is repeatedly in/out of his shirt between shots.
Raji is in R-I-R-A-J-I?
Yes.
Talking to Nick. Okay, that happened. And then the next round of the next one is...
When Elliot pauses the video of himself in Edie's home, he pauses it on one still, and when he restarts the video, it starts from a different still.
Elliot. Elliot.
I'll be right here.
Then the main character comes down, and their
lyrics are misquoted from Knocking on Heaven's Door. And then at the beginning of the movie, as the main character stands up to go to the restroom, he closes his suit once. And as he enters the bar, he closes his suit for a second time.
You took one dip, and then you dipped again.
You dipped again.
That's like putting your whole mouth in the dip. And I'm sorry, Timmy, but I will dip the way that I so choose. I'm going to make a wild guess. This is wrong. Hustle and flow.
That is not correct. Chris, would you like to try and steal?
I would. I will say this. The fact that you're saying main character makes me think that I'm wrong, but I thought I may have had this at the 4-point clue when you said the first thing, but I'm going to go with Crash.
Ooh, no.
Yeah, I knew once you said main character, there's no such thing as a main character in Crash.
Right.
Yeah, all right, true. So let me give you that third clue again, Barrett. When Chili comes down the stairs at Edie's house, this other person who looks like it's called Sin, S-I-N, mistakenly quotes Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Well, so this is 2005, right? Mm-hmm. So is it Be Cool?
It's Be Cool.
Be Cool.
No, there's no fucking way I would have gotten, I've seen half of that movie, I think.
I'm sorry.
yeah, I have seen it, but I don't remember it.
It sucks ass.
I felt like if I said Chili, the name,
you would have
that would give it away. Well, and by taking Chili away, it made it too hard.
I'm sorry.
You may have an opportunity to steal if Chris somehow misses this one.
from the year in which he saw every movie, yes.
Yeah, but I didn't steal yours, so.
That's true.
This is true. All right, Chris, are you ready for your first clue?
Yeah.
The brochures on the table at the clinic change position between shots.
Brochures at the clinic change positions. I'm going to go with the next clue.
The calendar hanging on his refrigerator has only 6 days in each week.
What a dick.
He is a dick.
Everybody's a dick in these things. 6 days calendar. And then the brochures are all fucking around.
Brochures all fucking around shit.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
The next one. When Andy is talking to the girl from Minnesota, he remarks, the land of 1,000 lakes. The actual motto is the land of 10,000 lakes.
I know for a fact I've seen this movie. Let's go to the last one.
Final clue. When Dawn of the Dead is being played on the TV sets, it is being played out of sequence.
Yours at the clinic. 6-day calendar. What was the third clue again?
When Andy is talking to the girl from Minnesota, he remarks, the land of 1,000 lakes. The actual motto is the land of 10,000 lakes.
The girl from Minnesota.
The girl from Minnesota has lakes.
Damn.
Well.
Damn, where is that kid?
Sounds like it would be a comedy, maybe? All right, I give up. I don't know it.
You're not going to guess anything?
Miss Congeniality 2.
Good call, but not correct. Barrett, would you like to steal?
Is it the 40-year-old virgin?
It is the 40-year-old virgin.
This is not a good look for me!
yeah, I guess I was trying to give you the TV sets are playing... Yeah. The Dawn of the Dead, so that you would maybe register those multiple TVs.
I just didn't think of it. Yep.
Well, all right. Barrett's probably feeling a little better about that whole Be Cool shenanigans.
You look like a man-o-lantern.
All right. So, as we go into our final round, we have 2 points, Chris. 3 points, Barrett. 2 points, Chris. 3 points, Barrett. All right, Barrett, your final one. Are you ready?
2010, I am ready.
When driving across the George Washington Bridge, the trees are in full fall colors. In all other scenes, the trees are all green.
What is it about every goddamn version of this game has something about driving into New York City?
It kind of does seem like that, right? There's somebody out there. There's an MDB goof writer who lives there.
Or the George Washington Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, or some bridge in Washington. Or yeah.
When they're driving out there, it's fall colors. I got distracted. I'm sorry. It's fall colors on the leaves.
They're okay. When driving across the George Washington Bridge, the trees are in full fall colors. In all other scenes, the trees are all green.
Okay. Next one, please.
After the office blows up, you can see an ambulance with a phone number on it that started with a 718 New York area code, but they are supposed to be in New Jersey.
I'll take the next one, please.
When Alan's wife crosses the street dressed as her mother to come talk to him, Alan's dark earpiece is visible during their conversation.
Okay, New Jersey, office explodes. Say that last one more time.
When Alan's wife crosses the street dressed as her mother to come talk to him, Alan's dark earpiece is visible during their conversation.
I'm going to make our first early guess here.
Oh, well, it must mean he's close.
I think it's the other guys.
It's the other guys. Yeah. He is correct.
Means I'm going to have to go for it on this one.
You are. Let's see. Barrett now has. That was a two pointer. So Barrett now has a total of 5 points. Chris, you have 3.
So no, if you I want have two, to,
Chris
right?
has two.
I have two.
Oh, yes. Chris, you have 2. So you either have to go for it on the first clue to win. Mm-hmm. Which, looking at it, I might caution against, or the second clue to tie.
Barrett is right. We shouldn't have any of those kind of shenanigans.
All right. These, so. I wasn't trying to sway his impact as much as I was trying to say the clue's not going to help him. Mm-hmm. But I apologize. It seems like I'm playing favorites, and the coin is really the one that played favorites. I should stay out of it. Chris, I hope you guess on the first one. There, I evens it out.
Yeah.
All right. Your first clue, the only clue if you want to win. In the boathouse scene, you can see the boom mic above their heads.
Boathouse scene, huh?
I don't think that's any...
I'm trying to think of movies with boathouses. Oh, who am I kidding? The boathouse was the time. Okay, I will go for the tying... Clue.
All right. The injured bird in the movie is a Eurasian collared dove, but when they set it free, we can hear the singing of a canary bird or a similar small type of bird.
Well, I guess Barrett wins because I don't know what this is.
Barrett, would you like to steal to pile on the score on the opponent you've just defeated?
I mean, Chris does have, I mean, if he wants to just put points on the board, he does have the option to keep going down. I think I have an answer.
Well, you can't lose points.
Yeah. I mean, so do we want to run through the rest of the clues?
Well, I can go through and see if I can answer it. Sure.
Okay.
All right. During the water park scene, the bodybuilder is seen to remove his sunglasses and toss them on the lounge chair. In the next shot, they are back at his face. In the following shot, they're back on the lounge chair where they landed when he tossed them down.
The water park scene.
It may be that you've not seen this movie.
It may be.
You're definitely aware of it.
Go to the next one.
The number 55 on the back of Eric's jersey changes width and style multiple times during the basketball game at the end.
Basketball game at the end.
They're never going to let me host this game again.
I genuinely think, I don't know, when it comes time to come up with something, like, there's no real time limit, right? But we have that pressure of there being some sort of a time element here. And I could sit here and think for days about these things, but, you know, nothing is coming up in my head about it. So, no, I don't know this one.
All right, Bear, what's your guess, just for shits and giggles?
I was, and this is not my guess, but I was, after the canary thing, I was going to guess The Prestige. With the basketball scene and the water park, I think you've already done Adventureland, so that doesn't make sense.
I have not ever seen this movie. But I feel like somebody who's seen this movie even three or four times would probably get it from Boathouse, Bird Release, Water Park. So I'm wondering if you guys have even seen this much.
The Boathouse scene actually reminded me of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. But I'm pretty sure, Part 1, but I'm pretty sure there was no basketball scene in that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, like American Reunion or something like that. Go
ahead. It's Grown Ups.
No, I didn't see this.
Yeah,
I think I've seen it, but I think I put it out of my mind.
It's one of those. I normally would watch every Adam Sandler movie, but I got tired of the older Adam Sandler because he didn't do anything like goofy anymore, man. It's just, you know, it's a bunch of nonsense now. No, I never saw this one.
All right.
So there you go. Barrett takes it.
My first win. I'm excited.
Yeah,
on
man.
A score of 5-2 on our new scoring system.
It does add a great dynamic, this new point scoring system, because now you have, you know, incentives to go for it early, and you have, I mean, obviously, I think most of them are going to go down to one most of the time, but it does add strategy to the game. So I'm all for it.
If we had flipped, like if the coin had come out different, however it won, instead of 5-2, this score would have been 9-7, I'm thinking.
Or something, yeah. Something
you guys
like
both would have gone before the final clue on at least a couple of those.
Hey, what was the final clue with the other guys, by the way? We never got there.
When he strips Alan of his badge and gun, he holds the gun with his finger on the trigger, which is bad trigger discipline.
Is that Michael Keaton's character, I guess?
I don't know. I've never seen that movie all the way through.
Are you serious? That movie fucking rules, man.
I've watched many pieces of it, but not start to finish.
Did you enjoy what you saw?
Not as much as you guys, but we're not talking about like a Jeremy and Vacation kind of situation here where I don't think you're wrong. I think it's probably that good to most people, but... Yeah. I don't know. I think there's something about Mark Wahlberg doing comedy that I struggle with.
He's the straight man in this, though. And, you know, it's he's got that scene where he comes in to his ex-girlfriend's ballet studio. And he's like, if you were with me, you wouldn't be working it on these poles doing it for money. And she's like, this is ballet class, not a fucking strip club. The poles are horizontal. You wouldn't be in here shaking that ass for money.
I suppose the weird. So the next one that we do will be me as host.
That's
and,
right.
And what are our records now? What do we got? What? So
all right. So Jeremy won the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris won the second.
Mm-hmm.
Then Chris won the third. Jeremy won the fourth. So Jeremy and Chris are. Each have two wins.
And Barrett has one.
Yes.
I'm on the board.
So we both have two wins, one loss, Jeremy, and then Barrett has one win, two losses.
That's right.
It looks like that. Yes. So I beat you. You beat Barrett.
Oh, I'm 2-2.
I beat Barrett and you beat me.
So, so wait a minute. There was one. So you beat me. And then I beat you, and then I beat Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I lost. I guess not. I guess that's right. 2-1. Yeah. I thought I lost twice. I have now lost twice, so I'm 2-2.
After today.
Yeah, after today, yeah. But, yeah.
Because I did not participate today.
That's correct. So I will be the host on the next one. Hopefully I can come up with some brain busters for that. So that was our fifth edition of Guess the Goose, and Barrett emerged victorious.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to talk a little bit about our Sin Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you were a member of our Sin Club, by the way, at any level, at the $3 level, at the $5 level, at the $10 level, at the $6,000 level.
Oh, the 6,000, yeah.
Yeah, that's the real stuff.
That's the one Paris Hilton
could be listening to my winning match right now before anybody else. Before anybody else.
I'll give you one better. All three of our levels come with Discord benefits. That includes access to specific fan club, sin club channels on Discord, and I believe there are pieces of flair or the like. But you should know a handful of our sin club members play a regular game of Guess the Goofs on our Discord. And you can participate in this game if you just sign up at any level, even the $3 a month level. All levels get all of our content early before the general public. That is a perk for a lot of people that I think is probably the favorite one. We also do bonus content. We do bonus podcasts every month. We do bonus videos where we do sinmentaries, where we get together and watch old sins videos and cringe at some of the shit we used to say.
That's the real shit right there. That's what you should be signing up for, folks, to see, especially when Chris and Jeremy will. It's essentially a reaction video to the old CinemaSins videos, and it is gold. That is worth everything.
Yeah.
Not so, like your life or anything.
For those of you who are a part of Patreon, thank you so much. And we look forward to new members getting on there and joining in on the fun. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Keep going to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter, Discord, and SoundCloud. That's going to do it for this week. It's Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott and Barrett Scherer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Dude, why do you keep putting this favorite shouting match question in the agenda? Wherever you're copy-pasting that from keeps showing up in the agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't done it yet.
We have done it. We've definitely done it. 100% done it.
Because I did the Suicide Squad where they yell, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, and my mother-in-law was outside.
I did Crimson Tide. I did The Insider.
Why do I keep copying and pasting?
Well, the first time you did it, I wrote back, I think we did this last time. And then you just kept including it, and I just kept ignoring it.
I'm just going to keep doing it.
It's like... favorite shouting match, Jeremy. I told you! I'm pretty sure that song's in the Italian Job.
Yep. Really?
Well,
is it a cover, or is it...
performed by Scott Weiland / Duff McKagan, Matt Sorum, and Dave Kushner.
That's Guns N' Roses and Scott Weiland. That's Velvet Revolver, essentially.
Okay, I don't know the name of it, but yeah, Scott Weiland and Slash I recognize. But yeah, that's obviously not the original version.
They did a cover of Pink Floyd's Money?
Yeah.
I've got to hear that shit, man.
Ostensibly, it looks like Gilmore was called to replace Syd Barrett, but Syd Barrett was there for like another... I guess a year or something, writing songs. But then after that, they kicked him out, I guess. Yeah, the only thing is, and this is going to be true of any act that has been around for 40 to 50 years, is that they can't hit those high notes anymore. So when you have in your head what a song is like and they can't quite hit it, it's like, it's nails across the chalkboard.
Or when they... tune down or play like 2.5 steps down and you can tell that the song has been lowered.
Yeah, exactly.
The only person that can do that now is Stevie Wonder. But you've all seen the stuff with Bon Jovi, right? Where he goes out and he's like, oh, we're halfway there. And then he puts a microphone out to the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knows he can't fucking hit that shit.
Yeah.
I saw... Ed Sheeran on some MTV award show with John Mayer. They were doing Ed Sheeran's song, like Thinking Out Loud, I think it was. But they might as well have been singing bass. Like, they had so clearly lowered the song so they'd be able to hit the notes live. Because in the studio, listen, I was never very good, and I was neither was my band, but I recorded enough to know that you can push yourself in a studio session to hit that note that one time and get it, and it makes everything perfect. But doing it live is not the same thing at all. And that's hilarious, the holding the microphone out to the audience. I used to do, I've told you this joke before, but I used to sing Jailhouse Rock, and I didn't know the third line. So I'd always take a drink right then. So I would always do a one through a party at the county jail. The prisoner was there and they began to wail. Knocked out jailbird singer, let's rock.
I tell you who doesn't do that is Matt Bellamy from Muse. Muse can fuck it. You've seen a Muse show, haven't you?
I have.
Chris, yeah. I have. He can fucking wail.
Jason Mraz is the same thing, man. I think he's a human instrument.
He's a fucking robot, yo. Like, he hits notes so pitch, like literally pitch perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
That it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, one of the first things I ever watched on an HGTV, because we didn't have any channels, was whatever was coming over the air. And this one channel, I think it was Palladium. Played a bunch of concerts.
Oh, I love Palladium.
Which is now MTV Live. Yep.
Yeah.
And they were playing a Jason Mraz live show in Chicago, and he sounded every bit as good as the CD. Like, usually, one of the reasons I'm not a huge live show guy is there's always some sort of quality loss in the music. Yeah. I realize it's the atmosphere as well as just the music. But the musical purist in me, you know, always hates that. And when a band can sound live like they do on disc, which is pretty rare. Switchfoot does that too, if I'm being honest. Not that Switchfoot needs my promotion. I'm sure Dicer is doing it enough for
he
all
is.
Of us.
He is. In every show, he manages to put Switchfoot.
But I saw him when they still had three people in the band. This is like 2001, maybe 99. And they made so much noise. They sounded like a six-piece ensemble. It was awesome. Anyway, now they have like six people in the band. So.
Well, it's like Ben Folds Five back in the day would sound like a quintet. Because I've got the DVD of the sessions on 54th Street. And because that drummer had such a great voice and he could, and because the piano is so percussive,
and because Ben Folds has five arms.
Yeah, exactly. And he's blowing into the fucking, I forget that instrument where you blow into it, but it's a keyboard. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the penis.
Yes,
ah,
the penis.
Oh, so the key, blow the guitar. The
flute, my peanuts.
The flute guitar. Flute keyboard.
I don't know.
The didgeridoo.
And then he's like, he's taking a guitar pick to the piano strings and all that shit. And the fucking bassist is using a bow on his upright bass. That original lineup of Ben Folds Five was maybe my favorite trio of all time.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Up there with Nirvana, I guess.
Mm.
Did you see my new poster?
I did. It looks like, it's nice. Overlook. There's a glare. I couldn't quite read.
Yeah, I can't, but it's come visit the Overlook Hotel.
Nice.
It's the best alternative poster for The Shining that I found.
Mm. Nice.
I love it.
Nice. It's not spooky either. It almost is welcoming. It looks cozy.
Yeah.
I want to go there, and yet I know that I don't. None of them hold a candle to The Haunting. With Catherine Zeta-Jones from 1990.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the one exactly. Where Owen Wilson gets his fucking head chopped off by a weird fireplace demon.
I saw that movie once at Hollywood 27. I built a print and I thought, boy, these effects are dated already.
Yeah, that's directed by Speed's Jan de Bont, of all people. Yeah. This was when you knew you didn't know exactly how a movie was. Like, when I was at Williamson Square and we slammed on a movie, I knew that was huge, like everywhere, because we weren't that kind of theater. you get to Hollywood 27 and The Haunting sells out like three auditoriums on a Friday and a Saturday night.
You're
like,
I was there.
This movie must be killing it. And it's like, I think it did okay, but it wasn't like to the point that you're like, oh, it must be selling out everywhere. This movie is doing gangbusters.
So that was Lily Taylor, right? Mm-hmm. Was the lead. And then Owen Wilson, Catherine Zeta-Jones was like the, she was a lesbian, wasn't she?
A lesbian or I don't a lesbian?
It works. And Liam Neeson's was the wasn't he the doctor in that one?
He was in that, yes.
But there was also another Haunting that came out. Was it that year? Like,
yeah, it was the House on Haunted Hill.
Yeah, that's the one.
Which was also bad.
Which that was the remake. Awful. The remake of the Vincent Price movie that came out in the 60s.
Right. Yeah.
Which I watched recently and was like, okay, back in the 60s, this might have been good.
Does it not hold up? I remember liking it, but I know that the skeleton effects and all that weird shit was really
the effects
dated.
Are one thing, and it's an entirely too simple story. Like, it's one of those where at the beginning it kind of tells you where it's going. So I actually was sitting there guessing at where everything was going, but they just kind of told you what was happening. And then by the end of it, you're like, oh, so there was no twist. It was just kind of, you know, Vincent Price wants to kill his wife. And the original Haunting is good, but
okay. That's the good one, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Yeah.
So House on Haunted Hill, the remake, Famke Janssen. Oh, Jeffrey Rush was the mad scientist, right? Mm-hmm.
I believe the House on Haunted Hill also had, for some reason, I remember a scene where a guy's trying to jump up and down on an elevator to like when it's in free fall, thinking that it will save him before it crashes.
That sounds familiar.
And I can't don't
forget there was also the movie 13 Ghosts around this time.
I love 13 Ghosts. Tony Shalhoub together and for me. Fucking Matthew Lillard, baby. Mm-hmm. They all looked exactly the same. They had the same color palette, the same like campy acting, the mm-hmm. same like weird effects. I can't even describe 1999 horror effects where there's slow motion sometimes. You know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about? Like there's just mm-hmm. weird random slow motion.
Yeah.
Peter Gallagher was in the House on Haunted Hill. Tay Diggs. Oh, Allie Larder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm doing that.
I don't either.
And Lisa Loeb.
Yeah. This is just one of her nine stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lisa that's Loeb nice. And nine stories.
Yes, no, mm-hmm. that's solid.
He says lesbicant, and we laugh for 5 minutes. I make a solid pun, and I get like a nod, of understanding.
I'm feeling you. Have you seen that Geico commercial with Lisa Loeb, by the way?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's cringy.
It is cringy, but how does she look the exact fucking same as she did?
She looks a little older, but she looks great. She looks very age-defying, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
She looks, a little older, but fucking Stay was like 1994.
Yes, but she was nine.
Yeah. Remember that time where Lisa Loeb was having a like difficult time finding a boyfriend? Remember that
she
was
had a
thing?
VH1 show.
Remember that was a story? And I was just like, oh, really? Lisa Loeb has difficulty getting dates? Okay.
Well, we've got us.
Or getting acceptable people.
She had a VH1 dating show, like a Flava Flav thing. Shot mm-hmm. Love with Tila Tequila.
right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were like one of those girls from Flavor of Love. I'll kill you! Dickish decisions was the phrase. And if you're on a roll narrating and you get to dickish decisions,
Yes.
It's the S sounds and the SH sounds that eat a fucking dick, man.
And they go like this when you write a phrase like dickish decisions.
Yeah, that was totally Ian. I'm going to blame the Brit for that one.
The worst ones, though, are not necessarily the words that don't seem like they go together. It's the ones where the sentence is long and there are fluctuations that you have to find in them that are the hardest. There was one on one of the commercial sends where it was just like, if you were to read this correctly, and I had to read it several times to make sure that I was getting everything right, because there were all sorts of clauses that changed the tenor of everything that you're doing. And I was like, I would get to a point where I was like, all right, here's where the change is. And then I'd fuck it up. And then I'd swear a bunch. And I would, all right, I know what I need to do now. And then you get into it and you forget again. And then it was like, I was kept getting it right to the right point. And then I would get that part right and the next part wrong. And it was like, God fucking damn it.
My beef with Spielberg's West Side Story has never been the original is perfect. Let's leave it alone. My beef has been Steven Spielberg is making a fucking West Side Story movie. That's dumb. That's dumb. I don't care. That's like I said on Twitter, I'm going to need both of you to say, Jeremy, it's an A+ Oscar contender home run of a movie before I even think about watching that shit. But I do love the original.
You going to watch speaking of Oscar bait, you going to watch the Kristen Stewart, Princess Diana thing?
Oh, yes, but I bet you good money I don't have a good time because I don't know her story very well, and British accents, sorry, Ian, are harder for me to hear than American accents, just terms of, well, it just adds another, female voices are hard for me to hear in general, but with an accent, it's not just British. Anything that's non-English, non-Americanized English is harder for me, even harder than English. But I think she's great. And it's got good buzz. I liked Jackie. That's the director's previous movie.
For a long time now, they've been casting British people as Americans, like real Americans, for a really long time. And it's because they're better at doing this shit than we are. So it's kind of weird that somebody was like, I'm going to do a Diana movie, and I'm going to put Kristen Stewart in there as Princess Diana. You know, that maybe she was the only one who could capture the look, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, the makeup and hair are doing a lot, but she doesn't look like her.
Not really.
I think even stature wise, if you put them side by side, I think Princess Di is a lot taller than Kristen Stewart is. But you know, I guess I'll watch it. I did watch that Licorice Pizza trailer, and I don't know.
We're good. Looked very Almost Famous-y to me.
It kind of looked like a cross between Almost Famous and... yeah, that other one I can't think of. That's comedy. Right. The girls stay the same age, and I...
Oh, okay. Well, like Days of Confused. I see what you mean.
I said, this women stay the same age and Ben Affleck plays football. Is that even correct? Does he play football in that movie?
He does, yes. But okay, I mean, excellent. Not in the movie. He is a high school football player, but
that's good enough.
We don't really see him play football.
Yeah, I've only seen that movie he goes out like to once. Paddle
people. Yeah, there's a point in there where I always get the Londons messed up. I think it's Jason London. The Jason London, after the kid gets his paddles and everything, he's like, guy's a dick. And he's like, yeah, he's kind of a joke or whatever. He's like, but he's a pretty good guy to have blocking for you if you're out there, you know, and playing football or whatever. So,
I wonder if there's a joke we can make somewhere someday in a stand about like Jeremy London playing Jason London.
We'd have to find, I mean, it would be fun. I mean, we might do Days to Confuse someday. Who knows? I mean, it might be a good one to do.
I swear, not only do they look so similar, their acting is so similar. Like, they are interchangeable for me. I'm not trying to be a dick about it.
Yeah, in the same
way. There's a London joke in the Justice League. Where I was like a Mallrats joke, where I had to.
Who wants to watch Mallrats?
Yeah, well, it was like I had to rewatch the scene where Jason Lee and one of the London boys gets together.
That's right. That's right. every single movie this time is Captain Ron.
Sweet. Sweet.
I feel like this is a vicious cycle of us like getting back at each other for like Red Eye and fucking Heavyweights.
Well, except I've hamstrung myself by declaring I'm going to stick to these years for a while. So there's only so many years in 1990 that I can like zing Barrett with. So I have to dig pretty deep.